he does not have a prior conviction for a crime of violence. While the district court below in the PSR was relying on the sexual penetration offense, the government has changed course and now is arguing kidnapping. So that's going to be the focus of my argument today. Specifically, New Mexico's kidnapping statute does not constitute generic kidnapping because it does not have a nefarious purpose, as that term is commonly understood, and because it does not require a substantial interference with a person's liberty.
Can we back up a minute? This all goes to a guidelines decision, right?
Correct.
The district court didn't rely on this crime.
No.
If we are there cases, I mean, it just seems really strange to me, given that we now have non-mandatory guidelines, to be getting into this level of detail about exactly how the guidelines apply. Because if he were to decide that this isn't a crime of violence for purpose of the guidelines, he could turn around 5 minutes later and say, but I know what he actually did, and I'm going to increase the sentence the same amount anyway, right?
Theoretically, Judge Hoffa, she could have. The problem here is, first of all, under Cardi, it says when there is a misapplication of the guidelines that you still reverse because the district court needs to have that opportunity. Here, I think there's
This may be silly, but are there, in fact, post-Booker cases applying the whole Taylor repertory to guidelines?
Yes, constantly. And it's even there's en banc cases even.
To guidelines.
I'm not sure. U.S. v. Vidal.
I'm not sure. I mean, certainly.
Vidal. V-I-D-A-L.
That was a guidelines case?
Guidelines case.
Okay. All right. Go ahead.
But New Mexico's kidnapping, well, I've already said that there's two elements basically missing, the nefarious purpose and a substantial interference with an individual's liberty. In Gonzales-Perez, this court held that the generic definition of kidnapping encompasses, at a minimum, a nefarious purpose motivating the restriction of a victim's liberty. And they cited the Model Penal Code, and the Model Penal Code basically defined the nefarious purpose as to hold for ransom or reward or as a shield or hostage, to facilitate the commission of any felony or flight, to inflict bodily injury, or to interfere with the performance of governmental political function.
Hold for service also is encompassed in that, wouldn't you say?
No, absolutely not.
Holding for service is not?
No, in fact, the Model Penal Code.
A nefarious purpose?
Oh, a nefarious purpose, yes, but not hold for service. Hold for service in the Model Penal Code, they specifically said hold for service is not kidnapping. And the Model Penal Code made that specific distinction and said hold for service should be more of felonious restraint, not kidnapping. So the Model Penal Code could
Well, that's what the Model Penal Code says. There are two elements, right? The restriction on liberty and a nefarious purpose.
Correct.
Where is there no nefarious purpose? What are you getting at when you're saying that you don't have a nefarious purpose?
Well, what I'm getting at with nefarious purpose is that purpose has to be substantially nefarious. And Model Penal Code set it out. And that's
been No, I'm talking about the New
Mexico. Why is it involuntary servitude, essentially? I mean, hold for service, I gather, means make somebody work and not pay them.
Unfortunately, well, or the government.
Or provide a benefit with no consideration or something to that effect.
Well, in New Mexico, it's not interpreted that way. It's in New Mexico, held for service, and this is from State v. Ortega, means for the purpose of assisting or benefiting someone or something. And they've applied that to if you detain someone for a love interest, meaning so they won't see another person or they
Well, wait a minute. Even that is a nefarious purpose. You have the question of taking a child to school against their will. Is that, there was something in the papers about that. You know, that's not a nefarious purpose.
Well, the problem with it is, it's not the nefarious purpose is criminalized throughout the United States, meaning New Mexico is in a far minority of holding this involuntary servitude or held for service as the purpose of a kidnapping. Kidnapping is supposed to be a more nefarious purpose, meaning
Well, you mean there are gradations of nefarious, is that what you're getting at?
Correct. And this doesn't meet the how it would be criminalized in most states across the country. And the thing is,
you don't have a problem. It's force or coercion, so it doesn't have to be force. But that doesn't matter because kidnapping is in the federal statute. So the fact that it might not otherwise be a crime of violence doesn't matter, right?
I'm not sure I understand.
In other words, the statute doesn't say you don't have to use force. You can use force or coercion.
Correct. Well, that, deception even.
I'm sorry?
In New Mexico, you can use just deception.
But I gather that you're not attacking that as a problem because although one might not think that was violence, the federal statute uses the term kidnapping, so.
Correct.
All right. So it's only this nefarious purpose problem.
No. It's also substantial interference with someone's liberty, meaning under the model penal code and how most jurisdictions treat it, you have to have a substantial deprivation of the person's liberty, meaning take them across state lines, hide them in a secluded place, something like that. That's required in the model penal code and most states.
What are you talking about most states? We're looking at the New Mexico code here, and you're saying for some reason that the kidnapping we're talking about is not a generic kidnapping for purposes of the sentencing guideline.
Correct. Because I'm talking about most states because that's the generic definition of kidnapping. Because this is a common law offense, you look how kidnapping is interpreted in most states. And in
so deception is no good, is that what you're saying?
No.
To constitute a nefarious purpose?
I'm saying in most states, you need to have more than held for service, and you need to have a substantial deprivation of liberty. And in New Mexico, as far as the substantial deprivation, at the moment you take or restrain, the crime of kidnapping is complete. You don't have to do something more. And so basically, if you sort through this, kidnapping, unfortunately, is broadly defined in many different states. But there's two common themes. Around half require both nefarious purpose and substantial deprivation of liberty. Some then will say
you. And so you say the New Mexico statute doesn't cover that.
Correct. It does not. Absolutely does not.
And specific.
No, I thought it was more than that.
Pardon me?
I thought your point was that the New Mexico statute covers more than that.
Let me change. What's criminalized in New Mexico, meaning held for service and that any restraint would be applied.
Broader than a nefarious purpose.
Correct.
Okay. So it's not that it doesn't cover it. It's that it covers more than that.
Correct.
How it's broader. I mean, they say that it's unlawful taking or restraining or confining by force or deception. That doesn't encompass generic definition?
No, because the generic definition requires a nefarious purpose and a substantial deprivation of liberty, meaning a substantial restraining, and that's the definition. I've looked at all there's long footnote of state codes in Lafarve and in the Fifth Circuit case of Gonzalez-Ramirez. I've looked at all those codes cited, and basically, if you did the acts that were charged here, held for service and no requirement of substantial deprivation, it would only be the crime of kidnapping in 10 to 15 states, depending on how those states define the term held for service or involuntary servitude. And since that's such a small minority, that makes the New Mexico statute overbroad. Unless there's questions.
What exactly was the kidnapping here?
You don't look to the underlying.
I understand that, but you said if you took what actually happened here.
No, if you took the elements of the New Mexico statute, meaning the element of held for service and no element of substantial deprivation, of substantial restriction on liberty.
Thank you. Your time is almost up, but we'll give you a minute or two to respond.
Thank you.
May it please the Court, my name is Andrew Shopler for the United States. The facts here are egregious, but straight.
Just a minute. I mean, does it matter at all that the district court relied on something completely different and you originally argued something completely different, and now we're pulling in a statute that the district court did not rely on. I mean, essentially, you're conceding by not relying on that the basis on which the district court found that this was a crime of violence is wrong.
That's correct, Your Honor.
Okay. So why are we doing anything? Why don't we just send it back for resentencing? He was wrong. And you can start again.
Well, let me be clear. I am conceding that the rape statute would not qualify as a plus 16.
I understand that. So and under the guidelines, he's supposed to determine whether or not what the guideline sentence is, right? It's sort of an exercise in having the district judge decide it, because it's not binding anyway. He decided it wrong. What he said was wrong. Why don't we just start over again?
Well, first of all, I don't think it's clear that it's entirely clear from the record that she relied solely on the rape conviction. There are several points in the record where she refers to the rape and kidnapping.
You never argued it. You never relied on it.
That's true. But I think that I did argue that it's harmless because
– Let me just ask, put Judge Berzon's question differently. Why do you really care if the district judge gets a chance to do it right and rely on what you believe to be the right ground?
Because I think the precedent here is important, which is –
Well, you don't have to get a precedent. Mm-hmm. We've been doing memorandum dispositions in 80% of our cases.
Mm-hmm.
If the issue is that the district court relied on a particular offense that you're now abandoning, and so that you give her a chance to do it to rely on the offense you think to be the correct one, what's the big deal?
The big deal is that both of them qualify as a plus 16, and the defendant already got a low-end sentence with that plus 16. So if this Court finds as a matter of law that the kidnapping alone qualifies as a plus 16, I think under this Court's precedent there's absolutely no chance that the defendant would receive a better result.
You're not worried about the defendant getting a better result. That's his problem. I mean, we've got other cases where we wonder why the people are here, because they got a very good deal, and they want to go back where they may get a worse deal. But, you know, that's not your problem, and it's not our problem. That's up to them. You know, you could go back and convince the district judge, I assume, that you should have relied on kidnapping and that the guidelines were not binding. It's only the first step. And maybe you'll get a better sentence from their standpoint. I don't know whether you can or whether that would be considered whatever it is, something malicious prosecution. But you can certainly make the argument, and the district judge can consider it before we do. I was just curious why what Judge Berzon suggested, you know, we could just remand without reaching any legal questions.
Well, the law is that this Court can affirm the district court's judgments on the
guidelines. No, I know we can. I'm just trying to ask a common sense question, not what we can do. But okay, go ahead.
I guess the quick answer from a common sense point of view is simply saving resources.
But I'm not even sure, given the current guidelines regime, that the ordinary rule makes sense, because really the guidelines regime and the procedural steps are really for the essentially benefit of the district judge in thinking through the sentence, right? And she thought it through wrong here. She was wrong. So it's if we say she could have relied on something, she could have done something else. I understand this is a legal question, but it's we make people go through it for a reason, and she didn't go through it right.
I think she
did. If you're worried about saving judicial resources, you might think about us.
Because, we're now in a position where we're deciding something in the first instance. Your brief, original brief, didn't even discuss it.
Mine did.
Yours did. His didn't, for good reason. He certainly had a good reason not to discuss it. You then come out of left field with something no one's ever I'm not saying this was wrong, but, you know, that he – I mean, you both did a very nice job with it, but it's a truncated procedure at this point.
Well, I –
I mean, you really wanted to issue an opinion on your issue of kidnapping, and to say that the kidnapping statute in New Mexico doesn't qualify as generic kidnapping. It's too – it's overbroad. Is that what you'd like us to do?
No. I would like an opinion saying that the kidnapping statute does qualify as a generic kidnapping,
right. But you're – have at least as good a chance of getting one that says it doesn't.
I guess I think that it clearly does qualify as generic kidnapping, and with the Court's indulgence, I think looking at the continuum of cases here, this New Mexico statute falls on the most restrictive side of cases in the nation. Just if you survey the jurisdictions that would survive this Court's the Taylor analysis based on the minimum definition of kidnapping, 16 jurisdictions have no specific purpose requirement. And those 16 jurisdictions include three of the most populous states in the nation.
But we've already decided that point, right? The Ninth Circuit has already decided that you do have to have a nefarious purpose.
That's correct.
So we're just down to what's a nefarious purpose.
I'm sorry?
So we're just down to what's a nefarious purpose and also this question about a substantial deprivation of liberty. What about that requirement?
Certainly. I think that this Court, sort of what I was driving at is I think that we have to define nefarious purpose liberally because there are so few jurisdictions that require a nefarious purpose or any specified purpose for the lowest grade of kidnapping. As the Fifth Circuit has pointed out, there's 16 jurisdictions that have no specific purpose requirement, and there are 12 jurisdictions that have no such requirement for the lowest grade of kidnapping, for a total of 28 jurisdictions.
Well, whatever there are, we've said it requires a nefarious purpose.
And since now New Mexico is among the 22 states that do have a specified purpose requirement, I believe it should be defined liberally because, obviously,
we didn't say you have to have a purpose. We said you have to have a nefarious purpose.
That's correct. Among the nefarious purposes identified in the Model Penal Code, for example, is disrupting a government function. I think holding someone for service against their will is at least as nefarious as disrupting.
You don't think disrupting a government function is one of the most important, offensive things that can be done?
I think that, first of all, you have to understand the way that that New Mexico defines it. Under their pattern jury instructions, this is what they read to the jury, they explain that hold for service includes holding for sexual purposes. So that's in the main what they're talking about, and that's what happened in this case. The defendant kidnapped a woman he did not know and took her to a remote location where he viciously raped her. That's in the
main. You're not arguing that this comes under the modified categorical approach.
Well,
if you had that in the charge and he pled to that, then you'd be fine.
Yes. I think this case rises and falls with the first line Taylor categorical.
For one thing, the indictment was actually for hold for service.
That's correct. Right. Okay. That's correct. And I think what they meant at that time, you have to understand this is the 1994 version of the statute, in the main, the ordinary case, and that's what this Court is supposed to focus on, is the ordinary case involved for sexual purposes. And that's their jury instruction. I mean, a governmental function could be holding on to the postman so he doesn't deliver a letter to someone you don't want to get to the letter. I mean, it could be but you have to think of it in the ordinary case, not any sort of unusual exception.
What about the substantial deprivation of liberty suggestion? I gather in this case, and in fact, the statute just requires that you take somebody, for even in a very short time, right?
Right. Well, the New Mexico statute requires the confining or removing, and it requires by force or fraud or forced or deception, which is actually more restrictive than the model penal code in a lot of other states because it has no exception for minors or mental incompetence. So that's a very strict requirement. It also has these delineated
purposes. But if you grab somebody and but they immediately escape, it doesn't count. It still counts.
Well, if it's for one of those specified purposes.
You never accomplish a purpose, and in fact, the person is detained for a minute.
Mm-hmm. That could probably qualify.
So,
but I could get the court cases perhaps interpreting
so
that.
So what do we know about what other states do with that? This is why I'm very uncomfortable proceeding at this point.
Yes,
what do we know about that?
Well, I'm happy to submit a 28-J letter surveying the cases, and I personally have looked at them. As I said, you have 28 jurisdictions that don't have this requirement whatsoever.
Which requirement?
The requirement that the Ninth Circuit requires.
But what about the substantial deprivation of liberty requirement?
If you then, of the remaining 22 jurisdictions that would qualify under the Ninth Circuit definition, if you eliminate the ones that don't have substantial interference, you're left with only a handful that would qualify as generic kidnapping.
But even a brief grabbing of a person, it has to be in New Mexico with some intent. Some intent has to be proved.
That's
either held for ransom or hostage taking or against the will. So
I very anecdotally, I had always understood kidnapping to at least require some movement from one place to another place. Is that not right?
Well, no. Most of the statutes require either removal or confinement.
Mm-hmm.
And there are only a few, for example, the Black's definition is asportation.
Mm-hmm.
It requires a movement. And the Maryland statute that's discussed is just asportation. All of the other ones, the Colorado statute, most of them, though, are confinement or removal.
But I still don't understand what you're saying about the substantial deprivation of liberty. I'm looking at that as an independent requirement, not having nothing to do with nefarious purpose. That's my understanding of the argument. And the question is, and that's not in the New Mexico statute, and you could certainly be convicted under the New Mexico statute, as we said, for a very short.
I think there are at most 10 jurisdictions, perhaps less, that require substantial interference.
I see.
So I don't think that. That is, if that is an element that the court were to read into kidnapping, I think it would eviscerate it as an enumerated offense.
And the model, well, certainly, that's certainly what people generally are thinking of with kidnapping. They're not generally not thinking of snatching somebody who immediately escapes and calling that kidnapping.
And I think as the Supreme Court has instructed, the court in applying Taylor needs to look at the ordinary case, not extreme hypotheticals that may yield to a different result. And I think in the ordinary case, this is the sort of case that is in the main. Somebody is actually taken off the street, removed to another place for the purpose of a rape. So looking at these statutes, I think the two most broad statutes are the South Carolina and Colorado statutes, which just require removal or confinement. Many of the other statutes that have been discussed in these cases require one or more aggravating factors. The Maryland and Black's definition require one aggravating factor, that it be done by force or fraud. The New York and Texas statutes require force or fraud and substantial interference. Florida statute does not require substantial interference, but it requires a specified purpose. And it doesn't even require force or fraud. It can simply be done in secret. So generally, the statutes require the removal or confinement, which is the core of a kidnapping, and then one other aggravating factor. The New Mexico statute has, I would say, 2.5 aggravating factors. It does require force or fraud. It does require a specified purpose. And it also holds out the possibility of involuntary servitude, or being held to service, which is something that was discussed by the Fifth Circuit in the Tennessee statute.
The Fifth Circuit said, didn't it, that you have to have substantial interference?
The Fifth Circuit did not say that that was required. The Fifth Circuit said that the minimum that, first of all, the Fifth Circuit implied that the Black's Law definition might qualify, which is simply aspartation and force or fraud. That's a very minimalist. And the government said in that case, well, this Tennessee statute meets that Black's definition. And they said, no, no, no. Force or fraud is not an explicit requirement. And therefore, this doesn't qualify. I'm talking about the Colorado statute now, which was at issue in there. So it had what the Fifth Circuit said is that it needs to have that core of confinement or removal and then an aggravating factor of some sort. I think force or fraud qualifies as something. And the purpose here under the Model Penal Code and elsewhere is to distinguish these forms of confinement and removal to get rid of the most trivial forms of restraint. And that was what the Fifth Circuit's reasoning was based on. You want to have at least one aggravating factor which can distinguish this from false imprisonment, say. Now, in New Mexico, they have a false imprisonment statute, but this is the most extreme form of removal and confinement. This is the top type of kidnapping. So I think if you look at it in terms of that core of confinement and removal plus an aggravating factor, you see that the New Mexico statute is at the far end of the continuum on the side closest to the Tennessee statute, the Florida statute, things of that nature, where you have several different ways of distinguishing it from false imprisonment. You have both the by force or fraud, you have the specified purposes. And I think if the court becomes too hair-splitting about how it defines what a nefarious purpose is when the legislature sets out these purposes, it's going to end up disqualifying almost all of these statutes, because there are statutes out there that list 8 or 10 specified purposes, and some of them can be rather mundane.
Well, what would be a we already have our case law saying you have to have nefarious purpose. What's a non-nefarious purpose?
I think that the legislature, by listing those specified purposes, implying that they're nefarious. But I think some of the more mundane ones that I've seen are that it had to be for the purpose of depriving the person of liberty, which I think is so self-evident that it almost doesn't need to be an intent. There's moving out of state is considered one of the specified purposes, and that's not a Model Penal Code specified purpose. There are a number, these statutes have many, many specified purposes that are not included in the Model Penal Code. So if we...
Does that mean they're not nefarious?
No, I think that's his argument. His argument is if they're outside.
Ted Burson's question is, what purpose specified in the statute is not nefarious? What purpose covered by a statute? Kidnapping statute is not nefarious.
Perhaps the mere intent to deprive the person of liberty.
But that's just circular, because the whole statute.
I think it's circular, and some of the statutes have that as one of the listed purposes, and I guess those under this argument would be disqualified if that's the requirement that it has. So I think that the wiser course is that if the legislature has set forth those purposes, those are nefarious.
Okay, I think we've given you double time so far.
I appreciate the court's indulgence. Thank you very much.
So what about my question about why don't we just say the government has conceded that the calculation was done on the wrong basis and sent it back?
I certainly think the court can do that, and I mean, you can avoid the whole kidnapping question. Personally, as far as my client, I'd rather you get to and hold that kidnapping also does not is not a crime of violence.
So if we did that, how do we decide I mean, here we have a statute which listed four purposes or three purposes, and why isn't it nefarious? I mean, obviously, the legislature thought it was, out of the whole world of things that it chose to make into kidnapping, it thought this was one of the bad things it wanted to include. And even on the least bad end of that, you're still doing something that is to the detriment of somebody else, and why isn't it nefarious?
I think in some sense, you're correct. It is nefarious. The problem is, with kidnapping statutes, when they do specify, and most do specify a purpose, that this particular purpose held for service, and particularly the broad way that New Mexico has
interpreted. Well, I would think held for service just in general is nefarious.
Well, that's all it means.
New Mexico may have pushed the envelope in the way it's interpreting it.
And then if they are, then it's not categorically a crime of violence, because that purpose in New Mexico would not constitute a crime in most of the jurisdictions throughout the United States. That's the definition of being overbroad.
But so what you're saying is that you want us to look not only at the general concept of nefarious purpose, but you want us to compare the statute's purpose by purpose, essentially, sub-purpose by sub-purpose.
Correct. I mean, what I'm trying to say is there is a consensus of what nefarious purpose means in the states that include one, and this is not what's generally included. This nefarious purpose, this held for service, is generally criminalized as felonious restraint or false imprisonment, which is not
kidnapping. Is the Fifth Circuit right, by the way? I understand our laws otherwise, but the Fifth Circuit claims that if you really look at these statutes, that the majority of them don't have a nefarious purpose requirement for kidnapping as opposed to for some subcategory of kidnapping.
I take some issue with the numbers of states that that the Fifth Circuit held.
All right, but at least let's just say it's close, right?
It is close.
And then we start, if you start then further parsing it to say, well, then among the half of the states that do have some purpose, you start looking purpose by purpose and say, well, unless a majority of them have a particular purpose, well, a majority of them is never going to have a particular purpose just about, because we're already at somewhere less than close to a majority. So you're cutting things awfully fine at that point.
Well, that's why I think you should combine the two elements, meaning nefarious purpose and substantial deprivation, because if you look at those together, of the statutes that limit the nefarious purpose to just held for service, all of the, or I think it goes down to like five, that don't have specifically in the statute substantial deprivation of liberty. So it's kind of a continuum that the state statutes are doing. They're saying, you know, two of the main harms of kidnapping are you're doing this for a really bad reason, or you're seriously depriving the person of their liberty. Model Penal Code combines both, but states do it differently. Some concentrate on the nefarious purpose, some concentrate on the substantial deprivation. So if you add these together, when you lower the nefarious purpose to help for service, most of those statutes are raising, specifically in the statute, the substantial interference. And I also dispute that substantial interference.
Your argument isn't that you need both, but that you need one or the other.
You at least need one of the really bad ones or substantial interference. And again, when you don't, when you have this specific held for service and no substantial interference, it would only be in a crime in about 10 to 15 states across the nation. And that doesn't meet the generic definition.
All right. Thank you. The case just argued will be submitted. The next case is Heath versus California.